Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Western Focus Podcast. I'm your host, Steven Meister, and not with me today, again, is my constant co-host, Cobalt. Except, unfortunately, that's not quite going to be the case anymore. There's going to be an announcement to be made here at the start of this episode of the Western Focus Podcast. First off, again, sorry for the long break. We kind of originally were assuming we were going to cover MSI. That didn't really happen for a couple of reasons, but one of them being that Cobalt wasn't really quite as interested in doing this podcast as much as he was at the beginning of it. So we ended up making the decision together that he will be departing the Western Focus Podcast, and at the very least for now, it's going to be just me. But with that, is going to be coming some changes to the content as well. I will not be really talking about Europe quite as much as before. That was obviously Cobalt's area of expertise. I was mostly the LCS guy. I will still talk about Europe here and there if I watch some highlights or if I watch some games. I'm not going to be abandoning the region entirely myself in terms of watching, at least I hope that I don't. But the main content of this podcast is going to be talking about the LCS. I will maybe, you know, look at the standings here and there for the LEC, maybe if there was a particularly crazy game that I see going around on Twitter, you know, with some posts being made and whatnot, then I might see if I can take a look at stuff like that. But for the most part, this is going to be an LCS-only show. There might be some opportunities for some guests to come on here or there. If Cobalt wants to come back, he's obviously welcome to come back at any time. I told him that. But I might have some other friends come on too who haven't been on before. So we'll see how that stuff all unfolds. There definitely will be an episode coming out in the near future discussing the huge LCS slash, I guess technically it's going to be America's now, format changes that have been announced. If you haven't heard about those, I will be giving my thoughts on those. Hopefully I'll have a guest on for that one, even if it's not Cobalt. But yeah, so right now, this is just going to be a kind of preview of the LCS going into the summer split for this season. It's just going to be me, like I said. Not a ton of changes have been made across the league as a whole. Wow, so half the league has stayed exactly the same. A couple of teams have made one changes, a couple of them made two changes, and one team has gone through a vast, vast overhaul of their team. It should be very exciting on paper, but we'll have to see how it actually plays out in terms of the actual results on the stage. So with that all being said, I'm just going to jump straight into it here. I hope you guys will enjoy this episode, even if it's just me. So you might have to bear with me for an episode or two as I try to get readjusted and get focused back in here by myself. But like I said, hopefully in the future we'll be having some guests come on, some friends come on, and we can talk about the LCS and League of Legends in general as well. So stay tuned for that. But for now, we are going to jump into this episode of the podcast. And we are going to start in reverse standings order from last season, or last split rather, with the spring split, starting with the 8th place team of Immortals. Immortals have not made any changes to their roster. It'll still be Castle, top lane, Armeo in the jungle, Mask mid lane, Tactical, AD carry, and Ole at support. This was an interesting roster because they definitely had some pretty decent moments throughout their season. But it just wasn't one where you're really expecting anything too much out of them. They did take down Cloud9 2-0 across the split for them. So that was very nice. Kudos to Immortals for having Cloud9's number for whatever that was worth for them. Obviously still finishing in 8th place. But beating one of the better teams in the league is a very nice sign for them. We have seen them play some good games, but just for one reason or another, they just weren't able to become consistent enough, and they were firmly in that 8th spot with a 4-10 record in the spring split. And kind of when you're in this business of a team like Immortals where you know you're a bottom roster and you don't really make any changes either because you don't want to or you don't have the resources to at the moment, you know, just going from between spring and summer, and other teams make changes around you, naturally I think those teams are going to be getting much more excitement going into the season, probably going to be end up getting a little more hype around them, causing them to be placed a little bit higher when it comes to rankings and predictions. And I think in the case of Immortals, where you're not making any changes and you were the bottom team coming in from last split, I don't necessarily expect that to change. You can obviously make the argument of cohesion and maybe working together, and that could be an argument that I would buy for this Immortals team. As I said, they definitely did have some close moments in a good number of their games, but I still don't really feel like, even if they do, you know, come together a bit more as a group, and maybe we can see some more consistent play from someone like Tactical, who I was pretty fine with for most of the split, but he definitely had some rough moments, some individual games, to put the team, you know, where he was kind of, it was kind of all on his back or nothing. So if he makes one mistake, then they lose. And then surprise, surprise, he ends up making a mistake because, you know, it's going to happen and they lose. So unless we see some more consistent performances from Tactical, but most importantly, the rest of the team, I'm probably still expecting them to be eighth. Castle was pretty nice. I will say that too. Castle definitely stood out a bit, but I just don't think there's going to be enough on this team to end up fighting for a playoff spot here. Maybe they don't finish eighth again, but I don't see them quite being able to break through to top six either. Up to the seventh place team now with Shopify Rebellion. They finished 5-9, one game above Immortals in the spring split. They only made one change to their roster. Fate God is staying in the top lane, but they are bringing in a new jungler to replace Boogie. It is Tomio going to be stepping in for him there. Insanity, B-Boy, and Zazel staying the same from mid down to support. So I'm excited to see Tomio come in. He's been a young player that's been around the scene for a while now, and it'll be hopefully nice to finally see him get a full-time LCS spot, show what he's got. He's been a guy that's been around Collegiate, I believe, for a decent amount of time and has been on some academy rosters. So good opportunity for him getting this full-time spot to show what's up. And he's on a team that definitely could be competitive in that fight for a playoff spot. They were 5-9, like I said. The two playoff teams that made it in just barely above them were 6-8. So Shopify was right on the fringes of being able to qualify and make it in last split for that sixth place playoff spot. And with a move like bringing in Tomio over Boogie, I was fine with Boogie. He wasn't necessarily horrible, but there was definitely going to be some opportunities to upgrade from him there. I don't know if Tomio is necessarily going to be a direct upgrade right away. Again, we'll have to come in and see if he can impress, but it will be an interesting move making that change at that position, seeing what he can hopefully do finally for the first time on the LCS stage in a consistent form. So I like what the team has around him for the most part. Like, B-Boy was really, really good last year at AD carry, definitely a top three ADC in the league in spring split. It was good to see Zazel back and performing pretty solidly. So there's some good pieces here. We'll see if Tomio will be enough to end up becoming a difference maker for them or not. I'm not quite sure on it. And this is going to fall into the team that we'll be talking about basically next year. They were in a tie for that fifth and sixth place spot, but with one of these teams that was just above Shopify Rebellion, again, supposedly should be getting a good bit better, they still might end up coming short. I think the biggest question to look at will be the team who did end up finishing in sixth place was NRG, who is running back that same roster of Dokla, Contracts, Palafox, FBI, and Huhi from top to bottom. I know I beat this horse to death already, but you know, talking about this NRG team, I was finally willing to give them their props last year going into spring split. I gave them some credit, and they completely failed me on that one. So I'm gonna stand my ground now. I'm not gonna be waffling on this anymore. I'm gonna stand my ground that this NRG team is not that good, and that they're gonna be staying kind of in this range of like fifth to sixth. Obviously, in a 10-team league is a little bit more impressive than in an 8-team league, but I think this is just what they are. I think they really found lightning in a bottle going into Worlds that year, had a great performance, and they definitely, you know, deserve credit for it, because whatever form they did capture there was there. It wasn't fake. You know, they did earn those results at the end of the day, but that's just not what they are consistently, not only as individual players, but as a team as well. They're just not able to keep up that high of a level so consistently. The individual players just aren't able to stack up consistently enough over long periods of time. So I'm going to be expecting NRG to finish kind of in the same range as 5th, 6th. But with that being said, I don't really think that Shopify has a super crazy shot of being able to knock them out, especially if Tomio does hit the ground running. But this should probably be the two teams that I would be expecting to be fighting for that last playoff spot, as the team who was tied with NRG, who ended up taking fifth place based off of the tiebreakers, Dignitas, has done a complete and total facelift to their roster, which I credit them for, but I know that there's probably going to be people out there that are going to be criticizing them for it as well. They changed every position on their roster except for one. Rich is out of the top lane, Licorice is in, XU is out of the jungle, Spica is in, Dove is no longer the mid laner. They have brought in Jensen from FlyQuest, which is a huge move. Tomo is no longer the AD carry. It is Sven, the former Cloud9 AD carry and support most recently. And then Isles is the person they're actually keeping in the support role, which I'm very happy about because I like Isles. I think he was doing pretty good. He deserves to be staying on this team, I think. Very quickly, I know a lot of people were talking about XU, like when this when these moves were kind of initially being announced. People were kind of liking what XU was doing, and like, you know, XU wasn't really the big problem on Dignitas. I can agree with that to some extent. I'm not surprised that they made the move to get Spica, though, because you know, you would expect Spica to be an upgrade coming in right away. I wasn't a huge XU fan, but you know, when you're overhauling this much of the roster, it clearly wasn't just like, oh, you know, like, oh, XU was the problem, kicked up, we're just going to keep everything else. No, they really just went for a full veteran roster, and then Ios, who isn't necessarily a veteran of like the professional LCS scene, but he's been around the LCS Academy scene for a long time, and then I believe he was playing in Oceania before this in the professional scene there as well. So this is a very seasoned roster that definitely has the talent to be competing for the LCS title on paper. Licorice was a beast on Golden Guardians before they ended up exiting the LCS. Spica definitely has had plenty of great moments on TSM, and it had a pretty decent run on his time on FlyQuest, other than obviously the boomed roster. Jensen coming in from FlyQuest this season, I think, is probably going to be the most, at least in my opinion, it would be the most like kind of interesting move, because FlyQuest did end up, you know, agreeing to get rid of Jensen. They are replacing him with someone else. So why would FlyQuest not want Jensen, but Dignitas would? I mean, obviously Jensen's not quite the same caliber of player he was before. Definitely did not quite stack up the way you would want him to going internationally, but that's not necessarily too surprising. I think Jensen just nowadays is a respectable NALCS mid laner, and there's nothing wrong with that necessarily. I think especially for a team like Dignitas, who's making such a big move here from, again, what is normally a bottom feeder team that should be contending for a good spot in the playoffs, Jensen will be a good fit on this team. He has some synergy with these guys before. He worked with Licorice on C9, he worked with Sven before on C9, I'm pretty sure, and he might have even been there with Isles. I don't know if Isles actually played a professional game with Jensen or not, but I'm pretty sure they did have overlapping time together on C9. So this could definitely be a roster that, you know, you're kind of looking at it like, oh, you know, these are a lot of veteran names, guys who have been around for a long time. Are they going to be able to play on the same page? Who knows? They're going to be a lot of, you know, butting of heads and stuff like that between some big personalities, you know, and whatever, because obviously Sven has a big personality, but he seems like a fairly respectable guy. Jensen obviously has his way of wanting to play the game. I would assume Spica does as well, being a jungler and a pretty good and seasoned jungler at that. So maybe there is some concern of butting heads, but I feel like for the most part, this would hopefully be a group that has had, you know, playing experience together. Like I said, I'm pretty sure Licorice, Jensen, Zen, and Isles have all spent some time together on Cloud9. So there should be some rapport there at the very least, and then just see how Spica integrates with this team. So I am very excited for this Dignitas roster. I can't believe I'm saying that. You know, I think it would be a little bit cooler in a way to maybe keep some of those younger guys around, like XU, you know, and build around some younger players. But, you know, you got to respect the grind. You know, they've been being bad for so long. They finally got fed up with it, saw all this talent available, and it's like, you know what, if we're ever going to spend money, let's do it now. And when we talk about the format changes for 2025 in the next episode, you know, Dignitas, for all we know, might not even be around in 2025, so maybe they're just going to go all out on this one split, see if they can maybe sneak in an LCS title before they take an exit, right? I don't know, we'll have to see how that goes, obviously, but this should be a fun team to watch. I know personally for me, I'm going to be very invested in this team. I am going to be rooting for this team because, again, a lot of former C9 players on here, and I don't necessarily hate Spica. You know, it's like I didn't like Spica because he was competing, you know, against C9 with TSM and whatnot, you know, but I don't necessarily dislike Spica as a person or as a player or anything like that. So Dignitas does have my support. They should be a solid team that has some optimism, even if it is a bunch of veterans. So I think it'll be very fun to watch this team play, and yeah, should be a pretty solid competitor here. Now, going with the team that finished fourth in the regular season, that was, of course, the eventual spring split champions, Team Liquid, who finished 7-7 in the regular season. They, surprise, surprise, did not make any changes. They went to MSI. Impact, Umpty, APA, Yan, CoreJJ, all coming back, and I think this will definitely be a team that will be interesting to watch, just to see if they can pull it off again, because this was a team that coming into this split, the spring split, that, you know, like, it was a fine enough looking roster, but there were a lot of question marks surrounding it, especially with keeping APA and Yan around. At the end of the day, I think that APA and Yan obviously did prove enough that keeping him around was the correct option, obviously being able to win the split. APA played some pretty good games throughout that time, Jan as well, with Core JJ still being impactful as always. And Impact and Umpty just kind of doing their thing. You know, Impact, as we've also beaten to death, you know, Impact is just always going to be up there doing a solid job. You're never going to really expect a real stinker out of him at any point throughout the split. So that'll just really be the narrative for this team, is can they run it back? You know, are APA and Jan able to be as consistent, and more importantly, consistently good as they were in spring split? And then will this, you know, kind of veteran presence of Impact, Umpty, and Core JJ be able to continue to carry them on to hopefully greater heights for this team, as it was truly a very unexpected victory for them in the spring split? But watching them play through those playoffs, they were definitely looking like the best team in North America and certainly deserved it. So one final congratulations to Team Liquid, but now you're going to have a lot of challengers coming at you, like Dignitas, and then of course the top three teams from the regular season of last split, Cloud9, 100 Thieves, and FlyQuest. Starting with third place, Cloud9 finished 8-6 in the regular season. A very disappointing split for them, not only with the regular season finish, but of course not being able to make it to the finals or MSI. They have made one change to their roster, and it is going to be in the top lane. Fudge is out. He is still on the team. He is just currently riding the bench at this point. He has not joined another organization, and he will be pushing the new top laner, a young Korean import rookie named Thanatos. Now, Thanatos is a name that was a little bit more relevant and kind of hopping around online a bit a couple of years ago, maybe even 3 years ago at this point. I could be a little bit wrong on that, but he was on the Damwon Challengers team in the top lane, and he was performing pretty well there. He got a lot of hype from what I remember, but he did not end up playing in this last split for Damwon, as he was basically too good for the Challengers League, but Damwon didn't want to promote him to the main team either, so he ended up just sitting out, and Cloud9 was the team that won the sweepstakes for him. It was supposedly between them and Carmine Corp were the two teams in competition for his rights. So Cloud9 ended up winning out there. And it's going to be an interesting move, because I know Blue was, or Cobalt was very big on this kind of super team narrative of having a rookie in there to kind of, you know, be a bit humble, maybe take some of the edge off, and, you know, bring in kind of a fresh perspective on a team with a bunch of veterans on it. So I think that hopefully he'll be right in that, and that Thanatos coming in will have that big of an impact. We'll have to see at the end of the day what the outcome for this team is. You would still expect them going into the split to be a team that's competing right at the top, even with their very patchy form in spring split. They're only two games behind FlyQuest and 100 Thieves, so the playoffs performances obviously speak for themselves, but this is still a team that has a lot of talent on it. Definitely individually, it is going to be all about can they come together as a team. Berserker and Vulcan did not look like what Berserker and Zven were looking like. Blabber was not quite on the same page with a lot of the team. It was really kind of like JoJo Pune or bust for a good number of those games with Cloud9, which I definitely was not expecting to be the case. Berserker really did have a down split. He's going to need to come and bounce back and be a solid player next to JoJo Pune, so that they both can kind of, you know, work off of each other when it comes to being the main carries for a game, and then having the other one still be a reliable threat as well. We know Berserker can do it. We know JoJo Pune can do it. It's just going to be about this teamwork coming together, being on the same page, having the same idea of playing the game, and hopefully, you know, just being able to come together as a group. I'm sure individually, I'd assume they would get along pretty well. All those guys seem to be, you know, pretty chill people, especially, you know, the little bits we see of like JoJo on social media and whatnot, and in interviews. But it's going to be very fun to watch them as a fan. I'm not super thrilled about the changes. I mean, the top lane one, I'm fine. Like, I never had huge issues with Fudge, but this was definitely not a good split for him. So making the change with Thanatos, I am kind of excited for. The thing I'm not excited for with Cloud9 is bringing Reaper back. I don't necessarily like the idea of just trying to, like, you know, rekindle like this old team, this old success that you had with Reaper. I don't necessarily think it's the right move. I think it would have been fun to see someone different. Now, again, you may ask who. I don't know. I wouldn't be able to tell you who. I just definitely was not expecting Reaper to come back, and now that he is back, I'm not in love with the decision. I'm sure, you know, obviously they had history. They must have ended off on good terms, or maybe if they didn't have the best of terms when Reaper and Sinan decided to part ways, maybe they've made up since then. But I'd assume the biggest reason for this is that Reaper was just a free agent. He wasn't coaching last split in spring. So the fact that he was available and the fact that this team clearly underperformed, you know, I think Mithy should have been gone anyways. But, you know, I think the Reaper hire was just kind of super easy for Jack to make. He's a free agent. You don't have to worry about buying him out from anywhere. You just hope that he comes back in and that maybe with some time away from the LCS, he spent most of his years recently in Japan, coaching down there in the LJL. So maybe down there he's got some new ideas, or maybe some new vigor and some new passion for coaching again, and he'll be hungry to come back up to the LCS and work with some better players and some better competition, and hopefully it'll be a good experience for him. So I'm still going to be optimistic about the team as a whole, but I'm just not super thrilled with that one specific decision of Rupert coming back. The Shenan should still be a team that you're expecting to compete for first place, expecting to compete for the title, and then of course going to Worlds as well. It'd be an absolute tragedy if they did not make Worlds, and then you really have to call into question what's going on over there. The second place team was in a tie with FlyQuest last year. That was 100 Thieves, Sniper, River, Quid, Meech, Ayla, all coming back, same team. Now 100 Thieves is probably a team that I'm going to be a little bit more interested in than some might be, because this is still an incredibly young team. Now, yes, they obviously had plenty of success. Quid won the MVP. I think it was very well deserved. Sniper had his ups and downs, but for the most part was a fun watch up there on the top lane at very least. Meech and Ayla got along pretty well. Seemed like they're a solid duo with some good potential to grow, and River was River for the most part. It was a solid team. Definitely overperformed expectations, though. So the one thing that I am going to be looking out for on 100 Thieves here is maybe a little sophomore slump. I mean, maybe a little summer slump, if you will. Because it was just so unexpected for them to be able to compete to as high a level as they did, make a good run as they did. But we kind of saw in their playoff performances, they were running out of steam. Like, even though, you know, I just talked about Cloud9, how disappointing of a split it was for them. They finished third behind 100 Thieves by two games. C9 3-0'd 100 Thieves in the round one, in the winner's bracket. It was a clean 3-0. There was not a lot of concern in that one for C9. So 100 Thieves dropped down to the loser's bracket. They sneak out against NRG 3-2 in that best of five. And then obviously losing to the eventual champions TL 3-1 isn't necessarily a bad shout, but still, you know, that was not a solid performance from 100 Thieves throughout the entirety of that playoffs. And the one thing that you would really hope for them is that the fact that, okay, you know, they had some time off, they didn't have to worry about going to MSI and really pushing themselves or anything like that, you know. They hopefully aren't burnt out at all. They had a rest, you know, took maybe a few weeks off here or there, you know, a few days off here or there to, you know, recompose and then come back to the game with a fresh mindset and working with this group again. So I'm still going to be expecting them to do somewhat well, because I think obviously the thoughts for this team going into summer split was going to be, okay, this team's not going to do that well in spring, but by the time summer comes around, that's where hopefully we'll start to see them gelling and coming together, and maybe some of the rougher edges will be ironed out of someone like Sniper playing up there in top lane. You know, maybe Quid, if he can survive spring, can find some more consistent development going into summer. And then hopefully Meech and Ayla looked promising. For the most part, all of those things were true in spring already, but was that kind of a little mini version of NRG where it was just like a flash in the pan? They looked really, really good and they came out of the engines roaring, but obviously with this stumble in the playoffs, were we really kind of seeing more of what we expected 100 Thieves to look like, and maybe more like what they will look like going into summer here? That's going to be the big question for me for this team. I definitely still envision them finishing in the top half, because I would still, you know, I would put C9 right up there with them. I would put FlyQuest right up there with them. We'll be talking about FlyQuest right here in a moment. And then you got to put Team Liquid right there. It's going to be very interesting, though, because if Dignitas, with that veteran roster, do come out, you know, on fire and come out of the gate winning, they have a little bit of a tough time doing that because their first match is going to be against C9. That should be an absolutely banger series on Saturday. But if they can come out of that game, you know, with some momentum, or come out of that best of three with some momentum, be on the lookout for that Dignitas team. I feel like 100 Thieves might be that team that's in that top half to stumble. I feel like it's either going to be them or C9, because obviously C9, they've been kind of shaky already. Maybe these changes aren't enough. Reaper coming back isn't it. Thanatos is just whatever. You know, the teamwork still isn't there. Maybe they stumble. But I would probably still put money more on 100 Thieves to be a team to have a potential step back out of FlyQuest, them, Cloud9, and Team Liquid. So be on the lookout for 100 Thieves. Maybe you're overhyping them a little too much. Just keep your expectations chill a little bit. You know, these are all still very young players except for River. So if we saw that dip in form going into playoffs, you obviously don't want that to be their form going into summer, because it was such a fun team to see them succeeding so well so early. You got to watch out for signs like that. So be careful when you're hyping up 100 Thieves to your friends or talking about 100 Thieves in the Twitch chat. Just remember, temper your expectations a little bit, and you heard it here first if 100 Thieves are a team who starts to stumble. But if they do great and they're in first place, you didn't hear this at all. And speaking of the first place team, FlyQuest, unfortunately for them, not able to win the LCS Spring Split, but did end up going to MSI, and kind of expectedly was not a great look for them. Only one change on this roster, and that is, if you were paying attention, Jensen leaving the team in mid lane. He went to Dignitas, and they are bringing in their FlyQuest Challengers mid laner, actually Quad. They are promoting him from their Challengers team to the main team to join Bwipo, Inspired, Masu, and Busio. Now, I don't know very little about Quad. The only thing that I can really tell you for sure is that they must obviously believe in him to be bringing him up and promoting him to a team that was, I guess for the most part, a close second to Team Liquid. FlyQuest was definitely the best team looking through the regular season of the Spring Split, but the finals lost to Team Liquid 3-1. Was obviously a surprise in the moment still. People were definitely expecting FlyQuest to be the team to win in that one. So, again, a little bit of a drop-off in form for that FlyQuest team, and it's kind of hard exactly where you want to place it on. I do think that Jensen is a valid candidate to kind of take the fall, especially if you are FlyQuest and Papa Smithy and you believe in this kid Quad that you're going to be bringing up to replace him. It's going to take a lot of confidence in you to get rid of someone like Jensen, who, again, you know, at this point, he's a respectable mid laner in the LCS. Is he going to be someone ideally you want on a championship team? Probably not anymore. He could still get a job done for you there, but you would be looking for better. And I'm excited to see this kind of move happen, because there is obviously potential for Quad to be better. Now, is he going to jump in right away and start smacking kids around? We'll have to wait and see, right? Obviously, the FlyQuest team was very successful in the Challengers League, so you would hope that, you know, this is one of the players that was a key part of that for them. But you still have to kind of, again, be a little bit cautious. Now, I'm nowhere near as cautious on 100 Thieves as on FlyQuest as 100 Thieves. Again, as I said before, if I expect a team from the top half to crumble or at least fall down a bit, it would be 100 Thieves or Cloud9. It wouldn't be necessarily FlyQuest or Team Liquid. But bringing in a young rookie, always kind of have to monitor expectations a little bit there for him and see how quickly he can get adjusted. He's going to be coming into a very, very high pressure situation with FlyQuest, a team that definitely has world's aspirations. It's going to be no small feat for him to come in here and compete against people like JoJoPune, like Quid. So we'll have to see if he can come up and make an instant impact right away. I'm not expecting him to come in and be like a main carry for this team necessarily. I don't know what his champion pool and stuff like that is quite yet. But you would expect it to be, you know, kind of enabling Masu and Busio to do that heavy lifting. And then Inspired can do a good job managing both Quad and that bot lane of Masu and Busio, while Bwipo hopefully just holds his own up there in top lane for the most part. This will still be a roster that will be fun to watch. And if anything, it should be more exciting to watch, because you should have some more rooting interest in Quad seeing young talent do well rather than Jensen just being, you know, okay for them in the mid lane and still having a lot of his same issues. So FlyQuest will still be right up in there in that competition. Will I be expecting them to finish first? I don't know. They're definitely going to be right up there, but I wouldn't necessarily put my money down on them finishing first right away. Looking at the state of these teams right now, if I had to predict a summer LCS standings, I would still say Immortals in 8th. I think that's pretty solid still. Shopify Rebellion in 7th seem pretty confirmed for me. I'm going to put NRG 6th. I'm still going to say that they're a playoff team. Again, unless maybe Tomio really clicks with Shopify Rebellion, or if Immortals really do have some massive improvements in their consistency. I still think it's going to be NRG kind of sneaking into that last playoff spot. But again, I'm not high on them at all. But I think the battle for 5-1 is going to be very, very, very tight. Because you can kind of get away with saying some crazy stuff here, and you could still argue it, and it would make sense. I don't think I'm going to go quite as hot as I was thinking of. I'm still going to say, for the most part, I love what Dignitas have done with their roster. And this is a very, very strong veteran group. But maybe they just don't click right away. And maybe there's just going to take a little bit of time, maybe for someone like Licorice to get back into the swing of things, maybe someone like Zven to get back into the swing of things, even Spica had a split off, you know, just getting back onto the stage, playing pro again. So I'm going to say Dignitas in fifth. That might be a bit controversial for some of you. I don't know. Please tell me what your summer predictions are going to be. But I'm going to say Dignitas still in the fifth. Now, maybe I'll convince myself to talk myself out of that by the end of this ranking. But for now, Dig in fifth. Saying like Team Liquid fourth just seems like kind of disrespectful, so I'm not gonna put them fourth. I think this is where I'm gonna put my hot take. I'm gonna say 100 Thieves finish fourth place. I'm gonna back myself on those comments of how 100 Thieves were looking in the playoffs last split. And that's more of what they were going to be. You can easily make that argument that I was talking about, like, you know, this team being a summer split team, maybe growing together. And you can easily spin that into the positive direction of, you saw that they were this good in spring split. Imagine how good they're going to be in summer. That's absolutely fair. And you could definitely be correct in saying that as your opinion and using that way instead of the way that I'm going to be using it. I'm going to say they're going to kind of come down to earth a little bit here. Maybe kind of like Mad Lions-esque almost. Maybe that's a better comparison than NRG. Mad Lions winning that winter split, but then kind of coming back down to earth. But they're still, like, you know, an okay team. 100 Thieves will still be a solid team fighting for that upper half of the standings. I'm going to put them in fourth, though. So that leaves FlyQuest, Cloud9, and Team Liquid. I'm going to put C9 third. Now, as a C9 fan, that pains me to do that. But I'm still, as I've said before, not convinced on the coaching. I don't know if they've added any other coaches. I don't think they've made any statements saying that they've added any other coaches. So it makes me think that it's just Reaper that's going to be running the ship, and then they'll still have, you know, guys like a Veigar V2 and stuff to do some work with the team. But Reaper's going to be the main guy. Now, if there is a reason why the Reaper hire would work, as much as I've said, you know, I don't like it, I think they're just kind of trying to rekindle old magic. Reaper is a very kind of totalitarian kind of head coach. He seems like the kind of guy that wants to have stuff done his way. He has his ideas, and he's gonna want the players to be very strict following him. Because a lot of Reaper's criticisms from before when he was getting pushed out of C9 was that his drafting was bad and that he wasn't really willing to adapt. So maybe that style is kind of what C9 needs right now. Maybe they just need someone to give them a kick in the pants and be like, hey, this is how things are going to be going around here. I know how to do this. I've been here before. I've won a lot before. A lot of you guys, except for Blabber and Vulcan, you know, you're new. You haven't won a lot yet. All right, you know, follow me. Let me show you guys how I want this to be played. And if we're able to get this down pat, then, you know, we can win LCS, and then hopefully we'll have a fun time at Worlds at the very least, right? So that would be the way it works out. If it works out and, you know, the teamwork comes together in that aspect of it under Reaper, then this is definitely a team that can win LCS. But for right now, I'm not super high on that hire. I'm excited for Thanatos and obviously the rest of the team. A lot of great individual talent, but they have to show that they can play as a team. And until I can see that, I'm going to put them in third, as much as I hate to do that. Because I'm also still not really sold on either FlyQuest or Team Liquid either. I don't think there's a clear top one team in the LCS. As I said, I think kind of 1-5, you really do have a lot of potential for movement in this split. So that leaves me currently now with FlyQuest and Team Liquid to decide between 1 and 2. Looking at these rosters on paper, I think I'm just gonna give it to TL. Maybe it seems too cringe and too chalky, you know, just given the defending champions first place in the regular season. But the way TL ramped up really was impressive. I think at the end of the day for them, it still hinges on if APA and Jan can continue to hopefully improve, ideally, of course, but at the very least keep up what they were doing in LCS last split. Because APA was definitely a player where he wasn't always the most flashy, but you get him on his right picks, and he knows what to do with those champions more than anyone else in the West, almost, you know? You let him be on Aurelion Sol, you let him be on Ziggs or Xerath or those types of champions, and he knows how to pilot them to a very high level. And then you hopefully work that in with Jan, who also did end up kind of proving himself a bit more. So I think the one thing that Team Liquid and FlyQuest seem, or will hopefully seem to both have going on now, is that team dynamic aspect of it. I think if you look at Cloud9 and Dignitas, who I've put a little bit lower, again, a lot of individual talent there. We have to see if they mesh well. 100 Thieves should have that ability to mesh well. It looked like they got along pretty well, but again, I think there's just going to be an aspect of them mostly being young players and they're going to be taking a step back. FlyQuest and Team Liquid have some pretty solid individual talent, but they definitely have the team play aspect of it down. Team Liquid, we know that for sure. FlyQuest, again, it's only one change. We'll have to see if anything massive happens or not, but they definitely have the team play aspect of it down. So I'm going to give it to Team Liquid going in first, I think. At the very least for now, I'll definitely be giving updates as the season goes on. I think that'll be kind of a fun thing to do, is to track my predictions and see how my feelings on them change as the season goes on, maybe like every couple weeks or something like that. But I think that's going to be it right now. It's going to be Immortals in 8th, Shopify Rebellion in 7th, NRG in 6th, Dignitas in 5th, 100 Thieves in 4th, Cloud9 in 3rd, FlyQuest in 2nd, and then Team Liquid in 1st. So again, that's my opinions on it, on this summer split coming up here. That's my thoughts. Please let me know what you guys think about this summer split for the LCS this year. I think it's going to be very interesting. The big change being the best of threes coming in now to be the format should be very, very exciting. Unfortunately, it is only a single round robin, so every team will only be playing each other once, so there'll only be 7 matches per team. But I'm excited for the best of threes. It'll make things a little bit more interesting, add a little bit more jeopardy, give some room for adaptation and stuff like that. A little bit more practice, sure, as well. I don't necessarily think one split of best of threes is going to end up making a meaningful difference when it comes to playing on the international stage or anything like that. And we'll have to see the fate of the format as well when it comes to like best of ones, best of threes, and whatnot going into next year as well, with those massive changes coming to North America and South America. So I'll digress there. I appreciate you all listening in. It still ended up being a fairly beefy episode, which I'm happy with. I kind of was able to talk about these teams, albeit maybe not quite as prepared and not having as much detail in terms of stats and stuff as I usually would like to do. But I think it was good to just kind of, you know, spitball a little bit here and there, just, you know, kind of go off some vibes and have some fun with it. But at the very least, you know, there is a baseline to talk about as well with these teams from last spring as well. So it's not like I need to have super rigid preparation for this one and talk about like a ton of new players and stats and all that kind of stuff. So I appreciate you all listening into this episode of the Western Focus Podcast. Like I said, gonna be just me for now, gonna be mostly LCS for now. We'll see how things change as time goes on, but I appreciate all of you sticking around who will. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm still going to try to make this a weekly thing. Like I said, maybe just won't be quite as detailed here and there. There might be some different ideas I have. We'll all see how it plans out going on into these coming weeks, but I'm very excited for the start of the LCS this split. I hope you all are as well. Follow me on Twitter at StevenMeister54. You can at me about the episode, share your predictions with me for the summer split, give me some hot takes that you might have as well. I very much look forward to interacting with people online. And you can also follow the organization that I'm a part of and that helps me out with this podcast at NoRival_esports as well on Twitter. Give them a follow as well. It would be very much appreciated for that. So thank you all so much for listening again to this newest episode of the Western Focus Podcast. I apologize for the delay. Things happen. It was a pleasure working with you, Cobalt, and hopefully we can have you on as a guest again at some point in the future. But until then, I will see you back here in a week's time to recap the opening week of the summer split. We have Team Liquid versus FlyQuest, C9 versus Dignitas on Saturday, and then 100 Thieves versus NRG, Immortals, and Shopify Rebellion on Sunday. I can do a quick little prediction here. I'm going to say Team Liquid 2-1 over FlyQuest. I'm going to say C9 2-1 over Dig. 100 Thieves, NRG. That should be an interesting one. I'm not a fan of NRG, so I'm still going to say 2-0 100 Thieves. But again, watch out for 100 Thieves this split. And then Shopify Rebellion 2-0 over Immortals. All right, take care, everybody. See you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.